Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
You have to, at some point, be honest about what's happening in the real world as opposed to what you'd like to have happened. Governor Romney had a very good day yesterday. He got 67% in one state, and he got 63% in another, 62% in another. You know, you have to be give him some credit. I mean, this guy's worked 6 years, put together a big machine, and has put together a serious campaign. I think, obviously, that I would be a better candidate. But the objective fact is the voters didn't think that. And I also think that it's very, very important that we be unified.
That's Newt Gingrich at a campaign stop in North Carolina giving Mitt Romney credit for his 5 primary wins this week and explaining that he's in the process of transitioning his campaign. Insiders say he'll officially suspend the campaign early next week. So that's where we get started in this hour of our Talk Radio Review, the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. With the first host being Tommy Tucker, here he talks to CBS political analyst Dottie Lynch about Newt Gingrich, and if he drops out as expected, will that cause conservative voters to stay home in November?
In terms of helping the conservative cause, and this is something that I never do quite understand in terms of Mitt Romney being conservative enough, are there voters who are conservative who will stay home and cede the White House to Barack Obama for 4 more years because Mitt Romney is not conservative enough to them? That, to me, makes no sense at all. But can that happen, or will that happen?
Well, I suppose if they feel, you know, somewhat disillusioned, usually by the end of a campaign, they decide that even if the candidate isn't the best, the opponent is going to be a lot worse, and that will motivate them to go to the polls. But, you know, there is an enthusiasm problem, and if the base is disappointed in the candidate or didn't think that he's sufficiently on board with the issues they care about, there could be a lower turnout than they want.
So you hate, hypothetically speaking, this is what I don't get. You hate Barack Obama. You've spent 4 years questioning birth certificate and legitimacy and socialists and this and that and the other thing. But then when it comes time to vote for somebody who could take his place, now stay home. I don't like him enough. Am I missing something or not?
Yeah, well, you know, it can be at the margins, and it can be the intensity of support for those people who aren't traditional voters. There's some people who just vote all the time, but there are others that really do, you know, decide that they're too busy or they don't bother getting registered if they've moved to a new state, that kind of thing, that can slow it down. That happens in particular with young people who don't have a tradition of voting or have to register. And, you know, if they're not excited, they may not bother voting for President Obama, even if they like him. With the more traditional Republican voters, they tend to vote, but you know, I suppose they go to the polls and then decide to vote for other candidates and not the president, or if there's some kind of third party or write-in possibility. But typically, people who feel that strongly about the opponent will kind of hold their nose and vote for a guy even if they don't like him.
Let me read you a text that came in, because one thing you got to give Ron Paul supporters, they are passionate. I am convinced that you leave Ron Paul out on purpose. Paul is still getting delegates and still attracting thousands to rallies. Your comments, Doug?
Yeah, that's been out there among his supporters. They don't understand why he gets all these people coming to rallies and he doesn't win primaries. Part of the problem is that people who come to the rallies are often independents, and then it comes to a Republican primary and they can't vote because it's a closed primary. And some, again, his supporters tend to be young. Some of them are from schools in states where they're not registered. And so he does still have this hardcore of support. And there are some states, Iowa is a good example, where he's working the state convention so that even though the primary was a long time ago, they still haven't selected their delegates, and he's doing better in that state convention in Iowa than a lot of people thought. So he's got that intense group of supporters, but it's not been reflected in any wins for him so far.
Up next, more on the primaries when the Talk Radio Countdown Show rolls along.
Over the past 25 years, awareness about childhood cancer has increased substantially, and it's little surprise that an organization dedicated to improving the quality of life for families facing childhood cancer is currently celebrating its 25th anniversary. Through its years, the National Children's Cancer Society has established a legacy of providing financial, emotional, and educational assistance to children with cancer and their families. Amazingly, the NCCS has distributed over $54 million, with $3 million distributed in 2011, and helped more than 30,000 children with cancer. Since its beginning, NCCS has evolved with programs such as the Pediatric Oncology Program and Beyond the Cure. In the year 2011 alone, Beyond the Cure, a survivorship program designed to educate children and their families about the challenges they may face, has awarded $100,000 in college scholarships to 32 cancer survivors. For more information, visit www.thenccs.org.
I'm Bill Averbeck, Associate Vice President of Marketing at Sanofi Pasteur. We're a proud sponsor of March of Dimes, March for Babies. March for Babies gives our company an opportunity to support our families and our community. Take steps to help moms and babies at home and around the country. Join us and the 20,000 other companies who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies. Start your team at marchforbabies.org.
When your digestion is out of sync with your life, everything feels off. Digestive issues can leave you twisted up. Give Sustanex Advanced Probiotic a chance to help. Shift Sustanex survives better than other probiotics to deliver good bacteria where you need it. So take the Sustanex 14-day challenge. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get started at Sustanex.com.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Maxwell. You're on.
Cool. And so you just want me to read the script? You don't want me to do the wee thing? Okay. Today, I'm going to talk about the new Geico mobile app and how you can manage your policy and get your ID card and customize it with your favorite Geico character. But I'm not yelling wee or anything because they don't want me to, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just saying it's my thing.
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Do you have a used or vintage musical instrument at home gathering dust? Guitar Center's experts are interested in buying it from you now through Sunday. You don't even need to be a musician. Look in attics and basements because we'll pay you top dollar for qualified guitars, amps, pedals, keyboards, drums, and more. It's the Used and Vintage Gear Expo at your local Guitar Center now through Sunday. Looking to upgrade? We'll buy qualified used and vintage gear and give you a 15% discount on new gear. You can even trade gear. Find details and your local store at guitarcenter.com.
This is Talk Radio In Review, a daily overview of the hot hits in talk radio. Now we're focusing on the GOP primary or the GOP standard bearer. Here's another radio host named Wayne Cabot who's talking here to Ginger Gibson. She's from Politico.com. She's been traveling with the Gingrich campaign. They talk about Newt coming to the decision to finally call it quits.
When did Gingrich realize he was done?
He had pegged a lot of hopes on the state of Delaware, and when he was unable to get the tax support he needed to win there, he realized that it was over and that there was no way he was going to get the 5 states he needed or probably even another third state to even be eligible for the ballot at the convention in this fall. So he realized that the fight was fought and it was time to throw in the towel.
So last night was the night it all came to him. He didn't win Delaware. He can't make a real splash at the convention. So when's he going to make the announcement?
Sources close to his campaign are telling us that he's likely to make the announcement on Tuesday, coming back to the Washington, D.C. area where he's lived since he left office, to be with former staffers, current staffers, and his family to make official. And it is, they say, very likely that he will also endorse Mitt Romney at that event.
Yeah, and you wonder what that's worth to Mitt Romney. We want to play for you here what Gingrich said about Romney on CBS in January to Nora O'Donnell. Listen to this.
You said of Mitt Romney, somebody who will lie to you to get to be president will lie to you when they are president. I have to ask you, are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Yes.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Well, you seem shocked by it. Yes.
I mean, why are you saying he's a liar?
Because this is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
Well, Ginger, today Gingrich said that he wanted to find ways to be helpful. Can he really expect to play a role in the Romney campaign?
It's looking like it's going to be unlikely that Newt Gingrich plays a strong role in the campaign, particularly because of all of the clips, like the one you just played, of him taking really vicious shots at Mitt Romney. Anytime Newt Gingrich were to get up and campaign for Mitt Romney, someone would pull one of those clips back out and replay it. But he will likely be trying to rebuild his brand, get his name back to something which is respected and as a role in the party. But his endorsement at this point, such little support, probably means very little other than to signal that he's given up and that he's not going to crusade against Mitt Romney through the fall.
Is he broke?
He is. $4.3 million in debt, ran up a lot of bills he hasn't paid yet, and it's going to take him a long time to overcome those debts unless he can figure out some creative ways to move money around from his super PAC to his campaign, which is at this point not clear as even possible. But his company went under. He still has some ability to make money through his movies and his books, but at this point, his campaign is broke and his own personal fortunes are in question.
Here's radio man Charlie Sykes talking about Mitt Romney and the speculation over who he's going to pick as his running mate.
I personally like the way that Mitt Romney is handling this vice presidential search. He is spending a few days campaigning with guys that obviously he has no problem with, you know, people speculating about them. So in Wisconsin, he spent 3 or 4 days bonding. There's a lot of bro love between him and Paul Ryan. Got a sense of who he was. Got to watch him, all that personal chemistry. I think that's, you know, legitimate. Then, of course, now Marco Rubio, who has really been at the center of a lot of the buzz about vice president, and for a while was saying, no. Well, probably not. Well, I don't know. Everybody thinks he's in the mix. Now, who else is possibly in the mix? I don't know. I mean, Chris Christie, if you campaign with Chris Christie, that wouldn't be a surprise. Senator Rob Portman from Ohio, I think that that's less likely. Yes, McDonnell, the governor of Virginia, I certainly would not be surprised to see him campaigning over a period of time. So you're going to start to see pictures of Romney with this person. So it is not going to at all be like McCain and Palin. It's not going to be at the very last moment, suddenly with no indication whatsoever, it wasn't on your radar screen, the music plays, they come out from behind the black curtain, and whoa, there it is. I mean, that's the way it was, right? What would be the other famous surprise moment? 1988, I can still remember this. George H.W. Bush, as the Republican nominee, was the vice president, was running to succeed Ronald Reagan, and surprised everybody by picking Indiana Senator Dan Quayle. And Dan Quayle comes running up on the stage and look like a kid, look like a young kid. And you know, I think that Dan Quayle got kind of a raw deal, but, you know, that was, I don't think people look back on that as one of the most inspired choices. And again, there was no long-term vetting process in public. And that's what I want to stress here. It's a public vetting process where he's making no secret of it. I'm thinking about this guy. He's out there. Look what we look like together. So when you see the final ticket, it's likely to be something that you've seen before. I could be completely wrong. He could, you know, pull something out of his hat at the last moment like everybody else has done. But, oh, yeah, no, do you remember the most famous? I think the most famous last-minute decision was the 1980 Republican Convention. I remember that. I was writing about that at the time. Ronald Reagan was the nominee, and during the convention, they were having back-and-forth negotiations whether or not to have former President Gerald Ford run as vice president. I mean, right down to the last minute, they were talking about a Reagan-Ford ticket, and apparently Ford was talking about, well, if you do that, there'll have to be a co-presidency, which was a terrible idea, an awful idea, and to his credit, Ronald Reagan recognized it was a bad idea and picked George H.W. Bush.
We're going to shift to a discussion of student loans next on The Countdown.
Healthy healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, Camel Milk. Camel Milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel Milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and Camel Milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And Camel Milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking Camel Milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel Milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under Products and Pricing for the Spring Special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
As you know, this program focuses on what talk radio and talk television are focused on. From MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell talks to Education Secretary Duncan about the president trying to get an extension of current student loan interest rates, which are supposed to double in July.
Obviously, a lot of people, we're talking about student loans reaching crisis proportions, the burden of student loan debt for graduates. And we've got a situation with young people where 53% of young people, people under 25, according to this latest statistic, are either unemployed or underemployed. So it all comes together into an issue that I know you care about passionately. What is your best argument for extending the student loan?
A couple things, Andrew. First of all, we have to educate our way to a better economy. The jobs of the future are going to go to the most educated workforce. And anyone who thinks we need less young people going on to college, I think is just has the facts absolutely backwards. Secondly, with college being so important, unfortunately, it's also the most expensive it's ever been. And we have many families, not just in disadvantaged communities, but more and more middle-class families, Andrew, are starting to think they can't afford college. And that's a real problem. So we can't afford to let costs continue to skyrocket. Right now, if Congress doesn't act, these student loan rates are scheduled to double by July 1st. But Congress can act and stop them going from 3.4% to 6.8%, and that would benefit 7.4 million Americans. So we have to act. We have to act together with a real sense of urgency, and we have to get this done now.
I was just talking to Senator Blunt from Missouri, who said that you guys created this problem by putting this student loan pay for into the health care bill, and that if you hadn't done that, it wouldn't be raising the interest rates, and that once the Supreme Court rules, yes, as he hopes, against the health care bill, this won't be a problem.
Yeah, I don't think those facts are quite correct. This actually passed in 2007 with bipartisan support to keep the rates down. It was signed, as you know, by a Republican president. It had a 5-year window. Now in 2012, it's coming due. Without Congress acting again, those rates will double. So this has a history of folks working together. There's no reason why as a country we can't unite behind giving all of our young people, working, middle-class families, giving them a chance to fulfill their dreams and go to college.
Talk host Daniel Loesch thinks the Democrats are turning this issue into some kind of a war on students.
I have labeled this Democrats' war on students because that's exactly what I think that this is. Here in 2007, you had a then Senator Barack Obama who could have voted for legislation that would have extended the law, it would have extended those lower interest rates on student loans, but he decided that campaigning was a higher priority. And it seems as though he finds campaigning a higher priority once again this year. Because he hasn't really done anything to address the rising costs of academia. The costs are going up, but is the quality matching the level of the price? But Romney, in an address that he had made recently, essentially agreed with the president on student loans, which is going to be, of course, not surprising at all to all of the people who absolutely just dislike him as a candidate and are going to choke back a vote. But for those who have been supporting him, I kind of see both sides of the argument, but I still think that it's all wrong because the argument is that Mitt Romney had two choices. Democrats sprung a trap for Republicans, which I'm so tired of hearing this argument. Democrats sprung a trap for Republicans, and, you know, if they decide that they're going to hold the conservative line and say no to extending a lower interest rate, from what I've read, they're looking to pay for it by going after small business owners, S-corps. If they stand against students and these this extension of the lower interest rate, then it's going to be turned into an attack on students, and the Republican Party is going to be relentlessly vilified by Democrats, and it's going to be something that's going to cost moderates because Mitt Romney's leading Barack Obama in moderates right now, and Barack Obama's looking to take some of that lead away. So I get that argument, of course, and then there's the other side that says you just hold the conservative line and fly a finger to the wind. I think the messaging, there's a complete lack of faith from the Republican establishment in its own self that's exemplified by the situation.
Up next, the latest on the Zimmerman-Martin case on the Talk Radio Review.
I'm Lou Diamond Phillips. As the host of the Military Channel's An Officer in a Movie, I'm proud to promote films that honor our servicemen and women. That's why I want to tell you about the nation's most exciting military film event, the GI Film Festival, which will be held May 14th to the 20th in Washington, D.C. At the GI Film Festival, Hollywood and the military come together to showcase the world's best military movies and to honor real-life military heroes. Visit GIFilmFestival.com for a full schedule of events. That's GIFilmFestival.com.
Hey, Kelly. So, who'd you hire to do your emails?
What? You know it's just me here.
Come on, I got your newsletter. Pretty fancy. Photos, coupons. Come on, who is it?
Oh, no one, silly. I use Constant Contact.
Really?
With ConstantContact.com, it's so easy. They make me look like $1 million, and the emails really work.
Oh, yeah?
It got you in here today, didn't it?
Touché.
ConstantContact.com. Plans as low as $15 a month with a free 60-day trial.
Gardeners trust Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed to feed plants right. Plants need food, especially veggies. Lately, another company's been saying their plant food feeds twice as long as Shake and Feed. What they aren't saying? Their plant food actually feeds less. So we're saying it. Shake and Feed provides 72% more nutrition per application and is more in line with university recommendations for feeding many popular veggies. Hey, if we can save even one veggie, it'll be worth it. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Everyone grows with Miracle-Gro.
Whether you're looking to buy a home or repair the one you're in, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. The Wells Fargo Home Lending website has the tools and resources to help you make informed decisions. There are many home lending options to consider, and we'll help you understand the benefits, financial considerations, and next steps. We can also help you find coverage if you're looking to insure your home. Stop by today or go to wellsfargo.com/homelending to learn more. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., all rights reserved. Equal housing lender. Insurance products are not FDIC insured, are not bank guaranteed, and may lose value.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standard for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival. BePrepared.com is making deals in April because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. What's on sale? Now through Monday, save 28% on a freeze-dried garden vegetable combo, which includes peas, corn, beans, cauliflower, celery, and onions. Save 33% on the Katadyn Hiker Micro Filter. New instant white rice as low as $8.49 and a 72-hour MRE food and water supply, a $72 value for only $49.99 and much more at BePrepared.com. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. Hurry, the BePrepared.com April sale ends next Monday. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk Radio Countdown Show continuing on. This half hour is focusing, at least at the beginning of the half hour, on Zimmerman and Martin. Here's host David Cruz talking about George Zimmerman entering his not guilty plea, but he did it out of the courtroom so that Trayvon's parents and the news media wouldn't hear it.
A secret plea. Entered by George Zimmerman in the killing of Trayvon Martin. A secret plea. And I say that because instead of this information having been handled openly in court so that even Trayvon's parents would have been able to hear for themselves this man enter a plea, imagine to our surprise that he actually entered a plea a dozen days ago. And only now do we know what it is. He told the court, "I am not guilty." And yet he had the audacity to turn around and tell the parents that he was sorry for the loss of their son. And I told you yesterday I thought those were very hypocritical words. Well, I think him entering the not guilty plea and having done so secretly even makes that apology ring more hollow and false. Here's the other thing he did, and we're just learning this because through a Freedom of Information Act request that the court had to respond to, they had to open up all of the court documents. We're also learning that he has waived his right to answer the murder charges in person. Here's what that means, basically. He's hiding in a cave somewhere, or maybe a resort. We don't know. And even though he was told he can't have any alcohol, who's checking? We don't even know where he is. No one does, except maybe his family. He doesn't even have to surface until the trial starts. So two very significant concessions made here. I think really three. A bail that was very flexible, very lenient. Some of you think it's fair. I don't. Especially in a high-profile case with the high possibility of flight risk, one. Two, he entered the plea secretly. Does he have the right to do so? Yes, but how often have you heard that being done in a high-profile case? And three, he won't even have to appear in public until the trial. Here's what I think that does. Pretty smart move by the lawyer, by the way. If I were representing him, I'd have done the same thing. Here's why. The less you see of George Zimmerman, the better. He reminds you of the crime. So keep him out of sight. Let the thing cool down. Let it chill. They won't see him again for a while. People will just forget. That's what I think the whole play is. So he's going to stay in hiding indefinitely. Because really, we don't know when this thing is coming forward.
Let's see what we have from Fox. Megyn Kelly here talking to attorney Alan Dershowitz, who thinks there's no way Zimmerman ought to be charged with second-degree murder.
You are now saying that if anybody should be criminally charged in this case, it is the prosecutors. Why?
Well, first of all, anybody who is involved in a shooting should be investigated, and perhaps there should be charges against Zimmerman. So let's put that aside for a second. But this affidavit submitted by the prosecutor in the Florida case is a crime. If she in fact knew about ABC News's pictures of the bloody head of Zimmerman and failed to include that in the affidavit, this affidavit is not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Why do they have to put in there? Why do they have to, and there's the picture. Why do they have to put in there the evidence that is bad for their side?
Because they're prosecutors, and prosecutors, when they submit affidavits, have to tell the whole truth, not just a partial truth. A half lie is a lie. And by suggesting that, as they do in this, Zimmerman confronted Martin and a struggle ensued, the passive voice, without describing the fact that there is evidence that during the struggle, Martin may have been on top, Zimmerman on bottom, and the bloody head may have been caused, according to Zimmerman, by the banging of his head against the ground. You can't leave that kind of evidence out when you're seeking to indict or inform against somebody. That's
right. Just educate the viewers, because I think most of our viewers assume that, you know, you've got the prosecution, they have one agenda, you've got the defense attorneys, they have a different agenda. That's not necessarily true. The prosecution has a different goal.
Prosecution's job is to present the truth and the whole truth. It has obligations under the law not to suppress evidence, not to hide exculpatory evidence, and to seek justice. Not to seek justice for Trayvon or for Zimmerman, but to seek justice for the entire society. That's their job, to make sure that there is a just result. Now, I've heard from some, well, the prosecution has more evidence, but they're holding it back. This isn't poker, where you hold two cards and you flip them later. This is the justice system. And the justice system has to be resolved by our usual procedures. Better 10 guilty go free than one innocent be wrongly confined, proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and all the evidence of innocence must be set out by the prosecution. The United States Supreme Court has said that repeatedly.
Up next, the Supreme Court and Arizona's controversial immigration law. That's next for your consideration here on The Countdown.
When your digestion is out of sync with your life, everything feels off. Digestive issues can leave you twisted up. Give Sustanex Advanced Probiotic a chance to help. Shift Sustanex survives better than other probiotics to deliver good bacteria where you need it. So take the Sustanex 14-Day Challenge. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get started at Sustanex.com.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Hey, everyone. I'm Maxwell, and my life is kind of awesome because whenever Geico wants to talk about their new mobile app, they're like, hey, Maxwell, you feel like coming to the studio and talking about how the app lets you manage your policy, you know, and get roadside help and even customize it with your favorite Geico character? And I'm like, maybe. Are there going to be snacks?
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Behind on your payments or barely making minimums? Do your massive interest payments have you running like mad in circles?
How long can you keep it up?
Stop running. Let the Thomas & Law Group carefully plan your escape. The Thomas & Law Group has proven itself for over 18 solid years, helping thousands of people like you and me reclaim our financial future. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and offices nationwide. And the best part? There are no upfront fees at all. You won't pay a dime until the job's done. No upfront costs, no monthly fees, no banking fees. No other law firm does that. I'm a paid spokesperson, not a lawyer, and every case is different. But really, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call the Thomas & Law Group right away for a free, no-obligation consult with a trained legal analyst at 800-460-4690. Call now, because you're tired of running in circles. 800-460-4690. 800-460-4690.
Do you have a used or vintage musical instrument at home gathering dust? Guitar Center's experts are interested in buying it from you now through Sunday. You don't even need to be a musician. Look in attics and basements because we'll pay you top dollar for qualified guitars, amps, pedals, keyboards, drums, and more. It's the Used and Vintage Gear Expo at your local Guitar Center now through Sunday. Looking to upgrade? We'll buy qualified used and vintage gear and give you a 15% discount on new gear. You can even trade gear. Find details and your local store at guitarcenter.com.
At Quicken Loans, we provide you with state-of-the-art online tools, like our app for your smartphone, MyQL Mobile. This means that if you work with a mortgage lender other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with someone who doesn't use state-of-the-art online tools. Let me demonstrate. Can I upload my mortgage documents with your mobile app?
No, sorry. We don't offer mobile apps. I didn't realize appetizers were mobile.
Are you using a typewriter?
Why, yes, I am. We just upgraded from Carrier Pigeon.
So I take it you don't offer your clients the latest and greatest technology.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
Industry-leading tools like MyQL Mobile to get you through your loan process with speed and ease. One more way Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
Talk radio countdown show, and now we go to Arizona for a discussion of the immigration. I suppose we could be going to Washington as well. Here's host Bruce St. James with reporter Colin Smith. Smith was in the Supreme Court when the arguments were being given over Arizona's immigration law.
Give me a sense of what you took away from being inside there this morning.
Well, I certainly think that you saw the court divided along ideological lines, and there were certain segments. You're absolutely right, Bruce. It's very difficult to figure out what a Supreme Court justice, what is going on inside that beautiful legal mind of theirs. But Justice Scalia, who is arguably the most conservative of the nine justices on the court, and certainly the most conservative of the eight that sat today after Justice Elena Kagan recused herself, Justice Scalia said about halfway through the oral arguments, "What does sovereignty mean if you don't have the power to defend your own state's borders?"
Interesting.
And I certainly think that resonates with what Arizona lawmakers and proponents of SB 1070 have been saying for quite a while. Again, this is a case that has to do with where does federal government, their policy, their federal law stop, and where does state latitude begin in terms of where can they begin enforcing immigration policies, some of which are the federal government's own immigration policies. I think sometimes this entire discussion has been shrouded about the constitutionality of all of SB 1070. It's not about that at all. It's about four specific provisions and the legality of that and whether federal law trumps, or to use a more legal term, preempts states' ability to enforce those laws within their own borders.
Colin, I think I'm curious as to any indication Anthony Kennedy, he's always the swing vote. You know, we know the conservatives on the court. There are four of them. There are four liberals. There are three liberals in this particular case. Is it going to come down to that Anthony Kennedy swing vote again?
I think it certainly could, especially if you bring up the idea of eight justices. You could have four vote in favor of Arizona. You could have four vote against Arizona. Interestingly, Anthony Kennedy was very, very quiet throughout the discussion today. He asked three questions, I believe, and as he typically does, he asked them very ideologically and very hypothetically. He had a interesting line of question late in the oral arguments, about 15 minutes before the case was submitted, and the parties were dismissed, including the legal counsel. So before things wrapped up, about 15 minutes ahead of time, he asked a hypothetical question. If there was a situation where there were significant problems in Arizona, such that the state was being so flooded with illegal immigrants that there were people leaving Arizona, citizens leaving Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something where, and he asked this to the Solicitor General, who argues in favor of the Department of Justice of the United States, Donald Verrilli in this case, he said, you know, is that something where you would be all right? Can a state go to its lawmakers and say, fix this? And I thought that was an interesting line of question, again, yeah, along those same lines of how far can states go on enforcing immigration policy. But that was as clear as he really made what he was thinking.
Radio host Kevin Meeks with Supreme Court reporter Jared Halpin. They talk about specific parts of this Arizona immigration law that the court is now looking into.
So what do you see happening there before the 9?
Well, this, and it's actually going to be before the 8 today. Elena Kagan, Justice Elena Kagan, recusing herself from Solicitor General when this challenge, the federal challenge, actually started. So actually, it's just going to be the old 8 justices today. So we could actually, believe it or not, have a 4-4 tie. But this is really a classic states' rights versus federal authority argument, like so many cases that this particular court has heard in recent weeks, in recent months, in recent years. And at issue is whether Arizona has the authority to enforce their own immigration policies. The federal government says we have a federal nationalized immigration enforcement act, and it's like that for a reason, because we don't want 50 different policies for 50 different states. And so far, at least for most of the provisions in the Arizona bill, that SB 1070, that's what the lower federal courts have ruled. They've sided with the Obama administration up to this point, but now it gets kicked up a level to the Supreme Court, and those are the arguments I think you're going to hear from Arizona is, listen, yeah, we'd be happy for the federal government to do this, but the federal government isn't doing this.
This is precedent setting as it relates to the 10th Amendment for states. I mean, if the Supreme Court backs up Arizona in this, this will give a lot of power to states to do something similar. If they shoot it down, you just wonder, what does it mean now if a state wants to, in fact, protect itself against, say, illegal immigration or some other issue that it feels it has the authority to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's been half a dozen states now that have passed similar laws to Arizona's. Arizona was the first, but, you know, states like Georgia, states like Alabama, a few other states have passed very similar pieces of legislation that are also being challenged. So certainly what the Supreme Court rules in this case could be very precedent-setting and certainly set the table for what these other states can do moving forward. And, of course, much like health care, much like the health care law last month, this has been a very partisan issue. Republicans, by and large, seem to side with Arizona. Democrats, by and large, seem to side with the Obama administration, with the federal government on this case. And we're going to have a decision probably sometime in June, just before the election, just like we expect, just when we expect to see the health care ruling as well.
Bill Hemmer here with Judge Andrew Napolitano. They talk about what each side is arguing in this particular case.
Arizona will come in and argue what in support of this. Here's Arizona's argument in a nutshell. The federal government forces Arizona to spend money on health, safety, welfare, morality, and education on everybody in Arizona, whether they're lawfully or not. So the least the federal government can do is enforce the border laws and keep illegals out. That's Arizona's position. And if the federal government won't do that, then Arizona will do it for them.
Okay, what's the argument on behalf of the government? This is our job?
The federal government's job, the federal government's argument is, immigration and border control is a federal issue, and we can't have states doing it on their own. Otherwise, we will have 50 separate foreign policies rather than one. And when the Constitution was created, the states delegated away their ability to regulate foreign matters and immigration matters to the federal government. P.S., this is the way the Supreme Court has ruled whenever they confronted the issue.
Now, a lot of our viewers are focused on Arizona because it's been in the news so much. But there are other states that have similar laws, Alabama, Georgia, Indiana, South Carolina, Utah. Some of these have been challenged. Some have been upheld.
Only Arizona's is before the Supreme Court today because the others have not yet made their way to Arizona. And there's a bizarre twist here. The bizarre twist is that only 8 of the justices will hear this because Justice Kagan has taken herself off the case because she says she worked with the Justice Department in resisting Arizona's statute when she was in the Obama administration. Question, what happens if there's a tie? The answer is that the decision below is upheld. And the decision below is Arizona's law is unconstitutional. But it is only unconstitutional in that portion of the country where the courts below have jurisdiction, which is the Ninth Circuit, which is the western end of the country, plus Alaska and Hawaii.
Well, okay. All right. Before we get to that point, though, this is basically an argument over states' rights, is it not?
It's an argument over states' rights and whether the states can supplant the federal government when it can't or won't enforce the laws.
And that is critical, right?
Because yes, if you're arguing that the federal government's not enforcing laws on its books, then what do you do as a state? Well, look, here's what the Supreme Court will say. It is not our job to tell the president how aggressively to enforce the laws. The president decides what resources to be distributed, and if you don't like the way the president enforces the laws, elect a new president. That's from the court's point of view. From Arizona's point of view, they're in a real conundrum, because the same Supreme Court before which they're arguing as you and I speak has told them, you must provide all these services, health, right, welfare, safety, morality, education, to illegals. So Arizona's caught in a box. We can't both pay for the illegals and let them flood over our borders.
All right, enough on that. Let's get into the juicy gossip of former presidential candidate John Edwards' trial. When next on the Talk Radio Countdown Show, we visit the issues.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The hot talk topics of the week and of the day, and that includes the John Edwards trial as we continue on the countdown with hosts Charlie Parker and Charity McCurdy. They talked to correspondent Eben Brown here about the allegations of donations from donors being diverted to cover up the Edwards affair, all at the direction of Edwards himself.
Evan, what took place yesterday?
What didn't take place, really? You know, we had a lot of detail from Andrew Young about the affair and really all the sordid details. What we also finally got to after getting through all the scary personal stuff, is exactly how, Andrew claims the money was funneled from a wealthy donor to Riel Hunter. And all apparently at the insistence of John Edwards, so his hands wouldn't be touching any of it. They went to an elderly woman, a philanthropist, Bunny Mellon, who was a big John Edwards fan, and she agreed to do this a bit begrudgingly, but she agreed to do this, and she would start sending checks written to her interior decorator, who would then turn, the check would then be signed off over to Andrew Young's wife using Andrew Young's wife's maiden name. The Youngs would deposit it into their own checking account, and they gave Riel Hunter access to that checking account to draw upon the funds. Or they would write another check to Riel Hunter. And this way, John Edwards' name and hands were nowhere near any of this.
Evan, at some point, can the finger be pointed at Andrew Young for essentially being Edwards' yes man, even though he knew what was going on was wrong?
Well, I think that eventually a finger could be pointed and has been pointed, and the first finger to point at him has been the fingers of the prosecution. When they introduced him to the jury through their opening statements, they said, look, this guy himself is not exactly the most moral upstanding person. This guy did a lot of wrong, but this is the account that we have of everything, and this is who you need to hear it from. So I think they've introduced him as a flawed character, but are really relying on his testimony to string this narrative together.
Well, that's the whole point. He's not on trial. They point all the fingers they want to at Andrew Young that they have. He's already he's testifying because he's been given immunity.
Well, yeah, but he's not on trial, but he will be, you know, essentially be on trial when the defense has their crack at him, because they have to. The defense will have to make him become unbelievable. And I will say yesterday that he was actually quite believable.
Taco Steve Gill here, wondering out loud if it's really necessary to have this trial, or is it a huge waste of money?
He's a bad dude. But is he a criminal dude? And even conservatives, National Review, American Spectator, and others, are coming to the conclusion that this prosecution of John Edwards is not only a waste of our money, it's a waste of our time and our attention. They're going to spend millions of dollars prosecuting this guy. They could have just simply fined him. Now, granted, he's a pretty rich guy, but his reputation is in tatters. His former wife, whom he hurt tremendously, and I will tell you, you know, again, I worked with John Edwards when I was a brand new baby lawyer. I knew Elizabeth Edwards, you know. There was great love and affection between them. And you know, you aren't married to somebody as long as they were married. You don't produce kids with somebody who is your children's mother and not have great respect and at least affection and love for them in some way. Knowing how much he hurt her, I guarantee you, is pain. He's not going to, maybe he'll testify it in court. If they're smart, they'll try to humanize him a little bit. But the damage he did and the responsibility he felt for that, I guarantee you, as narcissistic as he may be, as egomaniacal as he may be, as self-obsessed as he obviously is, I guarantee you that John Edwards feels pain for the hurt that he caused, not just to his wife, but to his kids, to his family, to his friends. And again, everybody who commits a crime hurts people they love and hurts people who care for them. That's not to say that, you know, okay, just because you've suffered doesn't mean you should not be punished. But should we spend millions of dollars prosecuting a guy who certainly isn't going to be a repeat offender? It's not like with his 3% approval rating, he's going to run for office anytime soon. Okay, granted, he could run. Not a concern that he's going to get elected to office anytime ever. You see that he's got a 3% approval rating with a 3% margin of error. I mean, that means his approval rating could be as high as 6 and as low as 0. Giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's got a 3% approval rating, who are the people that approve of this guy? That's the ones I'm interested in. I'd like to get a news story on who thinks John Edwards is a good guy. Not who doesn't think he should be on trial, who doesn't think he should go to jail. Who thinks he's a good guy? Who approves of this guy?
Want to check out more about all of the items that we're discussing today and this week? There's a Big Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougStephan.com.
There are so